Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Blue Wire.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh! He broke his ankles! A blocked by James!
Auburn's gonna win the football game! Auburn's gonna win the football game!
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant, put the jumper.
What's up, Snapback fam? I don't even know how to intro this because we finally have a Philadelphia Eagles player on the podcast. I hope he doesn't go back and listen to everything I've said about the Eagles. I will say one thing. I've never talked trash on Boston Scott. Boston Scott, welcome to the Snapback Sports Pod. What's going on, man?
Yo, yo, what's happening? Appreciate you having me, bro.
Finally appreciate somebody on my side coming on the pod. Boston, I cut out in the beginning when before we hit record, but listen, man, I've been a diehard Eagles fan since I was 4 years old, since I even knew what football was, and I hate you guys just as much as I love you guys. You know what I mean? That's a sign. That's a sign of a good, fan, the sign of a Philadelphia Eagles fan, right there.
You know, that's a common trend that I've heard, man. It's kind of a foreign concept, but I mean, hey, we're going to thug it out together.
Listen, man, we're going to rock.
I like it.
Till we can.
Yeah.
What? So, all right. Abe is a Philly fan, and Philly fans are the worst type of fans.
Damn right we are.
What's it like playing in front of Philadelphia Eagles fans?
You know, it's a good atmosphere, man. You know, definitely like you mentioned, man. Like when you're doing well, you know, there's nothing louder. But when you're doing bad, you know, they'll let you know too. So, you know, I definitely feel like they're down there on the field with us. So it's a different experience, man. But I've liked it so far.
Yeah, when you're doing well, they're loud. And when you're not doing well, they're honestly even a little bit more loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Boston, you crash onto the scene in the middle end of the season, and people are finally, you know, respecting who you are as a player. And I feel like you've always kind of run as like a under-respected guy. Like you grew up in Louisiana. Obviously, LSU didn't give you that mm-hmm. chance, but La Tech did.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk about yep. you know how that underdog mentality has driven you through the years.
Yeah, man. I actually didn't start playing contact sports until like middle school because my mom raised me, my brother, and my younger sister. And so it was hard, you know what I'm saying? Contact sports, you know, growing up not cheap, you know? So it was kind of hard for her to manage that. But I was finally able to get into it in middle school. In sixth grade, they turned me away, you know, and said, you know, you shouldn't even try out, you know, you get hurt out there. And in seventh and eighth grade, they didn't think that I was, you know, athletic enough, or I was kind of chubby, you know what I'm saying? I was kind of unathletic or whatever. So they were trying to think of, you know, what position they could put me at, you know, in order for me to get lost, kind of lost in the sauce and not really have an impact on the game if I played bad, you know what I'm saying? So I ended up being an offensive and defensive lineman my seventh, eighth grade year in
no
middle
way.
School. Yeah, yeah. So, but I mean, that's kind of where I was introduced to, you know, my work ethic and, you know, how hard I'm capable of working, you know, because even though I was a defensive end or, you know, offensive tackle or guard, you know, I was still going to be the best that I could be, you know what I'm saying? And so I still had in the back of my mind, you know, I know what I wanted to be, which was a running back. So I would work on my own, you know, outside of football. But, you know, while I was in those positions as lineman, you know, I did the best that I could to, you know, have an impact on the game. So I worked at it, you know what I'm saying? And so that really set the foundation for me, you know, as I transitioned into high school and moved from the Shreveport area to Zachary. And that's where I finally got my first shot in ninth grade to play running back. And so I was still learning a lot of things through high school. You know, I didn't have any offers, and I was producing well, you know, but there was still a lot that I was learning. You know, I'm still learning a lot to this day, you know. So A lot of guys have, you know, they played running back since, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really have that opportunity until really high school. So, you know, I've had the opportunity to learn a lot more, but it's definitely, like I said, I definitely set the foundation with, you know, working hard, you know, controlling the intangibles, my attitude, my effort, you know, how I impact other people around me, you know, and that really just set me up for, you know, college where I walked on, you know, continue to work my way up the depth chart from high school, college, and then to the NFL too. But I think back in middle school, man, when I was an offensive and defensive lineman, man, that's kind of where I was, you know, building the foundation. So it's all a part of the process.
You ever like ask Doug during practice, like, come here, Doug, let me match up with Fletch on the left side. let's see what we can do.
I don't think he wants to be on the line anymore.
Hey, but look, I'll mess around with Jason Peters and I'll give him to coach me up on my tackle stands, bro, on my lineman stands. You know, I'll drop set on him one time.
Yep, learning from the Hall of Fame bodyguard himself. But all right, let's fast forward a little bit. So
hold on. I do have a question, Boston. Does your experience at O-line like really help you as a blocker? I feel like it would.
As a runner.
You know, I think it really helps. I mean, it was middle school, but one thing I will say is the D-line stuff really helped out because I was on a punt block, you know what I'm saying, whenever Sproles was in the back. And punt block, sometimes you got to rush too. So you got to have a plan, you know, because the formations are so tight. You got to have a plan with your one-on-one matchup to get past somebody and get to the punter. And so I really feel like that's something that has really helped me out big time because I feel like I feel like your boy is one of the better pass, you know, punt
rushers.
There we
go. You're damn right, Boston. One more time for the people on the back.
I've had some really, really close ones, man. Like 2 years ago against Washington, I had a couple opportunities to get to the punter. And then this past year at Chicago, I had a really, really close one, you know, and that was more scheme. But yeah, man, I feel like I definitely could work somebody.
There you go. I want to talk about this past year because what a goddamn roller coaster it was, obviously for you, but I mean, let's look out for the people like me as well. I was going through it too, but you were on and off a little bit. Obviously the season didn't go really as planned with injuries and everything, but I want to fast forward from week 14 on, like the divisional gauntlet. It was after the Miami loss, after the Seattle loss. Mm-hmm. We knew what we had to do to get in. I'm going to keep saying we, just so you know. We.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
We knew what we had to do to get in, and we had that four-headed, I guess you could call it monster.
No, that's not a monster. That's not a monster.
My point is, let's start with that Monday night game at home against the Giants. Weather. We needed a win. Eli obviously had to come back and out in the first half, but you kind of got going that game, and that's really where you made your mark. Mm-hmm. A couple key pass catches in the fourth quarter in overtime. Obviously, that big one down the sideline in overtime. What were those last four games like? Because it was a whole new offense that nobody was used to between you, Greg, everyone. We're just stepping up. What was that last 4 weeks like, and knowing that week in and week out, your team was going to have to rely on you, and they weren't doing that earlier in the year?
Yeah, man. Like I said, like you talked about, man, it was kind of off and on throughout the season. You know, I had some opportunities to get on the field early on in the season. And, you know, honestly, I felt every rep that I got on the field, you know, I got better. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one thing, you know, I practice hard. You know, you can practice all you want to, but getting game reps and getting game experience is different. You know what I'm saying? So I really had some time to really build on my experience. And, you know, I knew, you know, once I got that shot to get out there, you know, I wasn't going to focus on, you know, what I've done in the past. I did make some mistakes. You know, I wasn't going to worry about what the future held, man. I was just going to try my best to be present in the moment, enjoy the moment, and lock in on my assignment and just do that to the best of my ability. You know what I'm saying? Not trying to save the day, not trying to do anything over the top, but just lock in and do my job. That's it. And so, you know, whenever Miles went down, you know, and I got my opportunity to go out there, you know, that was it, man. I was just enjoying the moment, you know, that I finally got a chance to get out there and just help my team out, man. You know, That's really what I wanted to do. You know, I have confidence in myself, but I also, you know, like I said, I want to help the team, and I want to contribute. You know, I'm a competitor. That's just the way I'm built. So it was a cool experience, man, just being able to get out there and get that experience. But like I said, from that point on, I just felt like I just kept getting better and better and better, you know, with the consistency of the touches and everything like that. So it was a great opportunity, man. I'm just really glad I made the most of it.
Right. Those last 4 weeks for really the entire city of Philadelphia were special.
What was doable
of everything that we needed to do. We had to do it. There was no room to let up, but yeah. I actually, Jack saw it firsthand because me and Jack is from Baltimore. He says a diehard Ravens fan. We brought him to the link week 16 against Dallas. Obviously that was a playoff itself. And my man Jack showed up in a Lamar Jackson jersey. That atmosphere, week 16.
The funniest part to me was like the Eagles had one game, like you said, Abe, it was a playoff game, and they were still chirping me, a completely irrelevant person to what.
Bro, if you're not in green, you're not with us.
It was crazy. The gold, the wild fake gold chain I was wearing was probably a little ignorant and why they were hating on me, but it was a crazy game. I give my props. The Eagles did scrap it out, but it didn't deter me because I thought that was going to be the end of your season, which is why I wanted to see it in person to squash Abe's hopes and dreams in that day. So then Boston, you guys messed around again in New York, and I was like, wait, this is going to be even better. And then you go for three touchdowns and carry the team to the playoffs. That's just messed up.
Boston, you can't really see it right now, but Jack and I can see each other right now. Obviously, you're calling in. And if you can just picture me, my arms are at about a 90-degree angle right now. I'm doing your celebration from week 17. What's the backstory behind that celebration?
Man, your boy's a dancer, bro. Your boy's been dancing since like me and my friends would just mess around, but you know, stuff like that.
That was tough, though. Man,
my coach, man, dudes will give you a hard time about it all the time. It's hilarious.
So I'm curious. Obviously, I have Super Bowl aspirations for this year, but we're a few months out. Where's your head at about next season? What are you thinking? Hopefully, we play. Let's just get that out of the way.
For sure. Yeah, no doubt.
Let's assume all that goes well.
The ultimate goal, man, is that Super Bowl, man.
You're damn right. That's all.
You know, we know. That's the goal. We want to bring it back. You know, but I think the approach just definitely needs to be just, you know, taking it one week at a time. The opponent that we have that week is the most important game of the year. You know what I'm saying? And so we don't have to worry about what's going to happen down the road. We have to, you know, obviously we can set our goals at the beginning of, you know, the OTA phase or whatever it may be. You know, we can set those goals of what we want to accomplish. But, you know, once we get into the grind of training camp and everything like that and roll into the season, I just think we should just focus and prioritize that week, being present and doing our job to the best of our ability for that week. And that's how we take it week by week.
Love to hear that. I mean, we're going to need you every step of the way.
That's literally music to Abe's ears. He's just sitting there.
All I needed to hear was, hey, man, that goal is to bring that Super Bowl trophy back, and then I'm good.
Hell yeah, bro.
I'm just checking all my boxes ready to go into next year.
Speaking of next season, we do have a game on the calendar, tentatively. Baltimore Ravens visit the Philadelphia Eagles, so the three of us might have to do a little catch-up. What about Lamar Jackson? Because I always like asking people in the league, you know, he revolutionized the league, the game really. And he's he is a runner. He's an elite runner of the football, and you play running back. What's it like watching someone like that in the league? And then who else in the league do you try to nitpick from, steal like a juke from him, steal a running lane from him?
It really started back in training camp because, you know, we had joint practices with him. And just being able to watch him.
We smoked you guys in the preseason. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we won the same amount of playoff games, so keep your mouth shut.
Whoa. Easy. But just being able to see it in person, up close, you know what I'm saying, in a practice setting where, you know, in practice, guys are able to, like, try out new stuff, you know, a juke here, a juke there. So that's where I was kind of able to really see, you know, the physical traits that he has, you know, as a runner and as a quarterback, man. But I mean, like I said, he does a great job, man. He like you talked about, man. He's a pure runner. You know what I'm saying? You can see back from his high school highlights, you know, he was making dudes look silly. So it's sometimes, you know, sometimes some things are taught, but sometimes things are just caught, and he just. Mm-hmm. He just got it, man. He just got that elite trait, man, that not a lot of people have, you know, as an athlete in general. So, you know, I try my best to, you know, look at some of the guys in the league that are shifty. You know, Tariq Cohen is pretty shifty. Phillip Lindsay, guys that are my size, that, you know, and see how they've been able to be productive over the past few years. Obviously, Darren Sproles, being able to learn from him. Austin Eckler with the Chargers, who just got paid.
Time out. We're calling pause. All right. So Austin,
funny you said that.
Austin was the first guest on the podcast from the NFL.
Oh, okay.
So this is the timeline. Let me break it down for you. Austin Eckler.
Just so you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. Just so you know what the snapback bump is. So Austin Eckler mm-hmm. comes on the Snapback Sports Pod. I would say about 6 to 8 weeks later, he gets paid his money. So that's all I'm saying. Is there a
question? Come on.
Yeah, I think so.
We got but, you.
I like no, I do I agree. Like you and Austin both kind of are like team first guys on special teams, mm-hmm. and that made a lane for yourself in the league. So I love that.
I want to talk about – hold on, Jack. So, Boston, obviously you bounce around practice squad up to the active roster, et cetera. And people like – kind of sleep on the practice squad. Here's where I'm coming at it from. In my opinion, practice squad, being on the practice squad, obviously you have to climb your way up to the active roster and a starting position. Mm-hmm. But even for a guy like you, you're on the practice squad. You're going against first team defenses in all of practice, let alone a top five rushing defense in the Eagles with the with the front. We have how valuable are these practice squad reps if you inevitably get up to the big stage?
Man, that is what I talk about every single time somebody talks about, man, but you're a practice squad. Man, you get an opportunity to work on your craft against, you know, the starters, you know what I'm saying? Pro bowlers, guys that have been successful in this league for many years. And when I was at the Saints, they were a top five rushing defense. And when I came to the Eagles, they're a top five rushing defense. So it's an opportunity for work in an area where people don't think I can excel, which is running in between the tackles. So being able to work on that and seeing it day after day, seeing, you know, how fast the starters move, how fast the speed of play is, I feel like I can definitely – it helped me adjust, you know, to the speed of the game when I actually got in there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, and obviously – also I would say, you know, it's just a matter of opportunity. You know, there are a lot of ballers that are on the practice squad, mm-hmm. but it's just – the NFL, it's a league of opportunity, man. Sometimes better players might be on the practice squad, but it's just a matter of finances. It's a matter of whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's all about opportunity, man. So just to be able to see, you know, guys like Greg Ward, Josh Perkins, just guys like that, to see that many guys get an opportunity to come in and, you know, have an impact on the game was real special.
Let alone a playoff game. Like, we needed you guys.
Right.
But you're talking about, exactly. At one hand, you're talking about how the practice reps help out with the speed of the game. And then mm-hmm. I go back to week 17, where mm-hmm. you do the slowest spin move Deuce Staley has ever seen in his entire life. I wasn't sure if you tripped or it worked, but take me behind what is the slowest spin move I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I'm gonna break it down for you real quick.
Don't forget.
Listen. So, okay. Antoine Bethea, right? He's a safety. And so I get the screen pass, blah, blah, blah. I'm running, you know, break a tackle. And, you know, usually when a safety squats, right, and you're running at him full speed, the last thing on my mind is I'm like, I'm going to get him with the first move. Like, usually you gotta bam, 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 or, you know, get them, get their body going one way so you can shake them, right? But I didn't think that he would, was going to bite on the first move. So, you know, whenever I made the move, I was expecting him to to drive on me. So I was going to use my right hand to stiff arm him to keep him away from me. But he didn't, he ended up not, you know, not being there. So I had already registered in my mind, like, okay, juke right, spin, stiff arm him, and then go score. So he didn't do it, but my mind was still going. So I was like, okay, juke, spin move, where's he at? He's not there. All right, let's try and score. So it just ended up looking
seeing
like
that,
a
seeing
move,
that in
so.
Real speed was absolutely hysterical because in some way it worked. You didn't get into the end zone yeah. with it, but it got you like an extra
yeah.
yards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was wild. It was wild.
Boston, you mentioned that, you know, people say you can't run between the tackles. And the reason I'm only mm-hmm. pointing that out is because that means you do listen and you do see what people are posting online. And I think I'm always curious from an NFL player's perspective, how much do you really just take all that in? Because I know you're pretty active on social media and you use it in a fun way, but yeah. obviously you're going to get people, mm-hmm. you know, in the DMs and in the replies. What's it like, you know, mm-hmm. having that element added that maybe, you know, running backs didn't have to deal with 20 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's a slippery slope, man. There are some things that I get tagged in that I see in my mentions that I'll take a look at. But as far as anything else, man, I just try my best to stay away from that, man, because it, like I said, it's a very performance-based culture. So, you know, if you're up, everybody's going to be loving you. If you're down, everybody's going to be talking mess about you. So, you know, I just try and stay even keel, just try and stay consistent. You know, I'm my own toughest critic anyway, you know what I'm saying? So those are things that I knew before people were talking about it, you know, from like high school, college, that, you know, because of my size, those were going to be, you know, red flags or issues, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, there are things that I'm mentioned in or tagged in or things that my friends or family will show me. But other than that, you know, I know that it's a slippery slope, and psychologically and mentally, you know, I try and keep my conscience clear so that I can just work on what I need to work on, listen to coaching, and not worry about that other stuff. Because at the end of the day, people like post articles and stuff like that, but I mean, they don't know, you know what I'm saying? I know what I'm capable of. I have confidence in myself, and that's really all I need, you know? So yeah.
All right.
That's pretty much it on
I
that.
I got you. Abe and I are going to DM you after saying thank you for coming on the pod. So don't ignore that one, but you can ignore the haters. You can ignore the haters.
Well, technically, Jack is a hater.
Yeah, no. Well, this is what's funny is because I don't know. Abe, you know all the players on the Eagles I have not hate for, but I've always talked about. Boston's never come up, genuinely. So Boston, we got a free pass on that. Boston, someone told us that you also lift weights. So, but lift a little
Wait,
more.
Before we do ranked, you just brought something up. Before we do ranked, Jack, Boston, I need to bring this up. Boston, can you please educate Jack on our man that wears number 11 under center? Because we were having a conversation before we started recording, and this nitwit on the other end of the line is talking smack on Carson.
I asked the question.
He asked me, do you think Carson Wentz is elite? And I said, you're damn right I do. So please, would you like to explain to Jack what's up with 11?
Absolutely. I think he's elite. I definitely do.
No shit.
You know, His way to, you know, obviously he has a strong arm. He's able to make the throws. And with Josh McCown coming in as well, that's only benefited him with his going through his progressions and being able to get the ball out. But to be honest, like the thing that's really stood out to me is one, his athleticism, but also his ability to make something happen after the play breaks down. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's a trait that, again, I said some things are taught and some things are just caught. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's a trait that is just special, you know, that not everybody has. And his ability, you know, you saw the throw against the Falcons, you know, you saw the his improv against the Redskins.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's situations like that that you see, you know, that you don't see quarterbacks making, you know, you don't see some quarterbacks making that in the season, you know what I'm saying? And so for him to be able to make plays like that consistently over the duration of his career definitely points to, you know, I feel like that elite trait, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like he's only getting better. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
He's only getting better.
Facts.
So, yeah, he's a great leader, man. Great dude. Hard worker.
Part of me thinks that throw against Washington was a little bit of luck just because of how absurd it was. And you keep watching it from the back of the end zone view. But I mean, that was just, man, look, unbelievable.
I mean, he put it right on Miles's chest plate, bro.
That was a
right
magnet. There. It was a magnet.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Right.
Are you two done over there? Are we good? Can we?
I think we're good.
All right. So you lift a lot of weights. We get it. You're strong. Abe and I aren't. All right, cool. So we play a segment on Thursdays where we rank our favorite or least favorite things. So we thought it would be funny to rank our least favorite people at the gym. So each person gets three. We'll snake it. I will start. That way you have a little more time to think about it, Boston. All right, my number three. Not too serious, but I hate the guy at the gym, a random guy, not your friend who you're working out with, not your, you know, whoever it is, who corrects your form. You didn't ask him for any help. He just walks up to you. He's, you know, you're okay. I'm sorry I didn't extend the bicep curl another half inch. And then I look over my shoulder and he's over there swinging bicep curls. He's not, he has no clue what he's doing. So that's my number three.
The worst when you're just like, dude, did I correct you on your posture walking in the room?
And I have my headphones in and you're still coming up to correct. Like that's when you know. That's when
the worst. Number three for me is the guy who shows up with a freaking supermarket worth of different color liquids. Like, this guy has Roy G. Biv in 9 different blender bottles, drinking God knows what, Capri Sun in one, protein in the other, pre-workout in something. His bottles are all over the place. Like, dude, drink a little pre-workout if you need it. Drink a little milk. Drink a little protein after. Leave the rest of that shit at home. I'm tripping over it. Leave it at home. The liquid.
Yeah.
All right. Solid start. Boston, give us your number three and then your number two.
All right. My number three has got to be the fitness models that come in for 10 to 15 minutes.
A gram.
Touching a 10, touching a 15. They have the camera people here and there. They're taking shots. They're posing. They break a little sweat and they walk out.
Do they even break a sweat? Like, I feel like they don't even
like, get bro, you're wasting space. Like, get leave.
Okay.
That's like number that. Three. Number two, we got the narcissist, I would say. Oof. I would say, like, the dudes that are all up in the mirror, you know, taking up all the space with all the dumbbells.
Wait, Boston, you know, don't talk about Abe right now.
Hey, look, they're staring at themselves. They're going through the curls as slow as they can, looking down at their bicep, looking at the mirror, looking down at their bicep, looking at the mirror.
All right, I like it. I'm excited for his number
My number two, plain and simple, and I have a
My one friend that Jack knows, Matt Siegel. This is
in a nutshell. I hope he won't listen to this, but the guy who just doesn't shut up. Like, you're at the gym for 4 hours and you're working out for 1 hour and you're just talking to people in between sets. You're making me take my headphones out. You're talking to me while I'm in the middle of an exercise. I'm like, dude, I can't hear you when I'm yelling because I can't hear myself talk. The guy who just won't shut up, and he means well. Don't get me wrong. He means well.
Yeah.
Just do less. Do less. We're here for us.
Yeah. Matt does like to go to the gym for like 8 hours. Bro, look at this. Look at this. Like, dude, I just want to work out and get out of here.
I'm trying to get mine.
All right. My number two, I'm throwing a bonus out there. And I think this might offend Abe. I don't know if it'll affect Boston, but I actually don't like the guy who wears the cutoff shirt. Like I'm a big sleeves.
Who doesn't wear
gym,
a what?
Wears the cutoff shirt. I know you wear the cutoffs in the gym. I'm a big, if we're in the gym, put the sleeves on. You can look at yourself later. I think that tacks on to Boston's narcissist. I'm just saying.
Listen.
Boston, you wear sleeves when you work out?
Bros, I'm down here in the dirty, all right?
So facts.
I don't wear a shirt at all.
I was going to say, everyone on Instagram, all the NFL guys, they're just looking jacked with their shirt. That's fine. But if we're in a nice gym.
All right.
What's a
right? Like, no? a Planet Fitness.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
okay.
Anytime. I ain't doing all that.
Let me hop in here. Because what is wrong with, and obviously I'm saying this because I'm guilty of it. Not every time I work out, but I don't really understand what's wrong with wearing a sleeveless shirt to the gym.
I prefer if you wear some sleeves because I know, like, why aren't you wearing sleeves is the question.
Form, mobility,
drift. Form. Yeah. right, you know what? Hey, if we're going to Planet Fitness, we're just wearing no shirts from now on. That works. All right, that wasn't even my number two.
I bring it up because you give you a hard time, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I think you
got to give it a little bit more leeway with that.
My number two is this one I know will actually offend one of my friends. This is the best part about Ranked is we're always offending people.
Yeah, that's the only reason we do it is just so we can subtweet everyone we hate.
all right. My roommate goes to the gym, gets on the treadmill, and puts on Netflix. Like, I don't understand why you're walking at the gym, like you're on the treadmill, get a little pep in your step, hit a run, and like turn off the Netflix. It's 30 minutes of your day. You don't need to watch a show. You don't need to do any of that. I know people watch like SVU. They're watching all types of shows. If you're at the gym, just do a workout. That's my number two.
I don't do that. I only listen to music. But okay.
That doesn't bother you.
Let me play devil's advocate. No, if there's like a 50-year-old woman walking on incline watching her
Good Morning
America on the television, like
that's fair. I'm talking 25-year-old ex-college athlete at the gym walking uphill on a 7 incline.
I don't think you've ever actually seen one of those people.
My roommate does it. Teddy, shout out Teddy. All right, my number one.
Shout out roommate.
Yeah, my number one. is this. I like to do supersets, so do an exercise, do another exercise, and then stop. Everyone does them. So some dude is watching me do a superset, and then I go finish the first, whatever it is, on the machine, and then I move to the second. He hops back onto that first machine.
He's like,
yo, bro, like, you mind if I hop in? And then all I can do at that point is like, yeah, bro. I mean, I was just finishing up, so you're good. And I'm literally like half a set in.
Wow, he alphaed you.
But it's the worst because then he wants to do the thing where like he moves his weight stack up or his weight stack down because I'm a beast, and then I have to move it back up. Like, it's just annoying. Like, get out of my way. You see what I'm doing? I'm working. Let me do my thing. So that's my number one.
A guy just comes up to you and just totally says, all right, this is mine now. He just cuffed you. My worst type of gym people in the entire world, CrossFit people.
Wow.
Listen, dude, I don't care that CrossFit changed your life. I don't care if you think it would do it. I don't care if it would get me in the best shape of my life. I like my ligaments just the way they are. You have your fun in your dirty cement garage of a gym CrossFit. I don't need to hear how it changed your life. Plain and simple, they don't shut up. Everyone that does CrossFit.
That is that. I mean, look, I'm not disagreeing with you, but that is, you are targeting some people. You are going to trigger.
Every person in a CrossFit gym right now should be personally offended.
I'll tell you a little fun fact. Yeah. The new, the Saints conditioning test is like CrossFit style. And I kid you not, I've thrown up in my life twice. Okay. The situations I'm not going to talk about, but anyway.
not workout related.
You had a bad burger.
So I've never been so close to throwing up in my life because, like, I don't know what it, bro. These CrossFit workouts, bro,
they're ridiculous, bro.
And when I looked into it, bro, the stuff is for time, bro. Whoo, man, it's it's bad news, bro.
Yeah, no, I heard it. I heard it's a great workout, but just keep it to yourself because I don't care.
Hey, that's perfect that the Saints do CrossFit workouts because you hate the Saints. We hate the Saints only because of their fans who complain about the pass interference every single year. And then, of course, the NFL puts in the rule and they lose in the playoffs on the pass interference rule.
First off, now that N'Keal Roby Coleman is an Eagle, that was a very clean play. That was clean. I'll tell you what, we saw him. I saw him sign, and I was like, all right, we getting all the calls.
Hey, how we be moving, man? How we move, Boston?
Let's hear your number one worst person at the gym.
Come on, man. Come on. This should have been a consensus. Like, you got to show out. You know, your guy that's just doing his regular workout, all of a sudden, you know, somebody nice walks into the door. You know, my dude's like, he has like 185 on the bar. Now he's saying, hey, yo, put on 4 plates real quick. Ha! Fail.
Right.
Nah, that's that kind of guy. Man, look, and I'll, You see it, bro. You definitely see it, man. You see the dude that's just mind his own business, doing a bicep curl silently. All of a sudden, somebody walks up.
That is so accurate. Literally, the moaning.
That was actually a good ranked. We were trying to decide on
that's a great rank.
And I every time we put these out, I really want people to get angry about them because that's what we like to do on here. But
Abe loves the trigger.
Before we let you go, we've talked a lot of football, we've talked a lot of weightlifting, but we haven't talked like other stuff. What does Boston Scott love to do that doesn't involve football? Off the field, just chilling.
Yeah, man. I love speaking to like at like schools or you know getting involved a little bit in the community. But I also like to play instruments. Your boy loves video games.
Ooh, wait,
I play a little bit of guitar.
I was asking what instrument.
Yeah, a little bit of guitar. I played trombone and baritone in high school and middle school. Because, like I said, sixth grade, you had to make a team. So I have musicians all in my family. So I decided to go on with a band or whatever. I wanted to learn something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You never know how that kind of stuff might benefit you down the road. But, yeah, I mean, I'm all about the music, video games. I like putting stuff together, building stuff. So that's pretty much it. I mean, cool. I love going outside, fishing. You know, the outdoorsman type thing. I did live in Zachary for a little bit, so I picked some of that up.
But, I played saxophone for 7 years. Fun fact, I actually
played
lute for a year, and then my instrument broke, and I cried in front of the whole class. A very scarring experience with the flute, but 7 years
that's
of saxophone.
Traumatic.
Very traumatic. What video game?
Man, I play everything, bro.
Do you play Madden? Play Madden with your own guy?
Not with my own guy, dog. No, I mean, I play whatever. I would say on my list, Madden's probably near the bottom. You know what I'm saying? I don't play Madden as much. I don't play Madden as much. I play
2K?
A bunch of other stuff. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. My games, I like first-person shooters.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a car guy. I love cars. So I like playing like racing type games, stuff like, yeah, I love playing FIFA. I've been playing FIFA for the longest.
Ooh,
so
okay. Who's your go-to squad if you're playing FIFA?
Chelsea, Union? No doubt.
Chelsea. Chelsea's like kind of trash recently though.
I mean, recently, don't worry about it, bro. My favorite player is Eden Hazard, so I was heartbroken whenever he went to Real Madrid.
I'm a Tottenham fan, so, I mean, we were good until this year, and then we fell apart, but Tottenham's a great FIFA team.
And I know nothing about soccer.
Yeah.
Did you play soccer at all, or were you always
when
you played?
Yeah, okay. I did, bro. Like, going into my junior year, I went up to my head. I played a summer of summer soccer, and I fell in love with it, bro.
Yeah.
And I went to my head coach in high school for football and said, "Hey, yo, I quit. Like, I'm going to play soccer, bro."
Soccer's fun. Everyone loves soccer.
Bro, I fell in love with it, bro.
Yeah.
But I obviously ended up still playing. But
yeah.
I was real close. I went back to my mom. I was like, "Mom, I want to be a soccer player." She's like, "You got soccer money?"
Right.
And then you went with the more expensive sport.
Yeah.
In the end.
Yeah, bro. So.
But Boston, I got one fan question. One of my best friends, his name is Mike, also a diehard Eagles fan. He was very excited when I told him you were coming on. He wanted to know who is currently the hardest hitter on the Eagles defense and who is the hardest hitter in the league. And that could be the same person. If you
Man, I gotta say Fletch, man. Just Fletch, he's different, bro. He's different. I mean, whenever I had a chance to like go against them on scout team or whatever, it's just you can just feel there's those moments where you can just feel like you just look up at him like, bro, like if this was a game, like I probably wouldn't be here anymore. Like I appreciate you, like just thug me. But yeah, just feel and just seeing what he's able to do on the field, man. It's different. But
that revamped
overall,
defensive line, I know I feel bad for you in practice this year, but
the hardest hitter. I mean, Ed, Ed Reed could definitely hit. Cam Chancellor, I would say it's probably between them two. Because Cam was different.
And yeah, that man was built in a lab. Too, so.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
love that.
I would say those two. Yep.
All right, Boston. Well, Abe and I will see you in Philly week whatever for Ravens Eagles.
I think the schedule comes out like one in the next few weeks.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're excited for it. Hopefully it'll be nice weather. We'll get you in some custom snapback cleats for the warm up. We'll give you the whole the whole rundown. Boston, we appreciate your time. I'm not going to say go Eagles. I almost said it, and then it just felt very weird, almost coming out of my mouth. I'll let Abe try.
And end it. Anyway, Boston, thanks for coming on. This was a lot of fun. We're also going to outro with the Eagles fight song, just so you know, Jack.
Just do it one time for my boy Jack.
Yeah, we're going to throw that in there on the outro. But seriously, Boston, best of luck. Stay healthy, and let's bring that trophy down Broad Street. All right, go Birds.
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
Take it easy, Boston.
All right, man.